Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I am joined for the preponderance of the hour in month number 3 of the calendar year 2024 by Brother Paige Tyler, 12-step ministry guru extraordinaire. We will tackle on this third month, step number 3. First, however, we address the Word of God more forthrightly. As the whirlwind passes, so are the wicked no more, but the righteous, they are an everlasting foundation. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 25. We have been speaking of what it means to be righteous. We have come, I trust, for those of you who have been attentive over these many weeks, to understand that our righteousness, for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, our righteousness is nothing inherent to ourselves. It is God's gift to us by way of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. Our righteousness is the product on the one of God's character. God does not lie. God is love. God speaks truth. God has issued his word, which is wisdom and truth. And therefore, the truth of the matter is that we are lacking righteousness. We are utterly unrighteous, but for the saving grace of Christ on the cross. God, in his infinite worth, has reached down from on high to save us, to rescue and to redeem us, and to grant to us this precious and very powerful gift of the righteousness of his Son. Our righteousness is predicated upon his promises, and his promises are legion. But there are several in particular. He promises that we will always know his abiding and faithful presence. We will know that he has a plan for us, one by which we shall prosper and have a future. We understand, please, also, that as believers, we are on the receiving end of the peace of Christ. So God's presence, God's purpose and plan, God's peace, also his power. How often have any of us felt at any given moment, especially in very acute times, a powerlessness, a weakness? We're not up to the task. Well, God is. And the Bible makes plain that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. God's wisdom is available to us. It has been my pastoral experience, and a rueful one, that so few people, especially Christians, ask God for wisdom. We ask for the things we want. How many want or wish for wisdom? Even Jesus acknowledged, drawing upon a text from the Old Testament, that wisdom calls aloud in the streets. But now, by way of a Brad Lacey paraphrase, few, if any, are listening. And God promises us his love. Indeed, nothing shall separate the believer from the love of Christ. Nothing. Not famine, not sword, not pestilence, not even death. Praise God. So there is his character. There are his promises. And then there are what I call the predicates of righteousness. And the first of these, and if you were attentive last time, if you're new to this broadcast, we share it afresh. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. So inherent to the God-given gift of righteousness is that there is a desire for such. We cry out from the depths of our hearts to God. We reckon with our sinful condition. We are weighed down by it. It saddens us. We would repent of it. And we ask God to give us life afresh. And the new life that he gives to us is one that is replete through and through with righteousness. Again, the desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Once having been made righteous, now your desires are shaped fully and comprehensively by the Word and Spirit of God. When the Word says that God will grant to us the desires of our hearts, it is a case of those hearts being shaped by His Word and Spirit. We now want the things that God wants. We desire the things that God would give to us. And any natural and more ordinary set of desires, Jesus has addressed this. He already knows that your Heavenly Father already knows what you need. You need food, you need clothing, you need shelter, you need companionship and fellowship. God already knows this and meets the dictate of these needs. But who desires the goodness and righteousness of God? Only the righteous do. And the righteous are only those defined biblically as those who have been washed in the blood of Christ and filled by His Holy Spirit. This gives no Christian the right to boast in himself or herself. Surely we understand from Galatians 6:10, if you are following Him, that we neither boast nor revel nor glory in anything of our flesh. We boast, revel, and glory in the cross of Christ, by which the world has died to me, and I have died to the world. From Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous. If you are a member of the righteous of God, you will be bearing forth fruit. And it will be fruit on the one hand that reflects the character of God. Hence Galatians chapter 5, in which the Apostle Paul itemizes the fruit of the Holy Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are all character qualities and traits that will begin to come forth in the life of the believer, perhaps over the course of time, perhaps not all at once, but they are given to us as a collective. But such fruit will have a fruitful bearing upon our relationships and encounters with others. We shall be bearing fruit in the lives of other people. Perhaps they will be affected by our characters. Perhaps, you know, one often hears the story of both Robert E. Lee, the great Confederate general, and Dwight L. Moody, the great Christian evangelist. It was said that when these men walked into a room, the character of everyone in those rooms into which they walked immediately changed because of the preeminent nature of who these men were. They were both godly followers of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry to say that Robert E. Lee was on the wrong side of the Civil War. I'm also honored to say that he was not on the wrong side for reasons of being pro-slave. As a matter of fact, in Robert E. Lee's case, there's a magnificent story on the other end of the war when he was going forward in his Anglican or Episcopal church to receive the elements at the Lord's table. And a black man went forward, something that had never been done before. And the entire church went hush. And Robert E. Lee stood next to that man and he spoke to the rector. And he says, this is how it shall be from here on. And he did it with great pleasure and satisfaction. He knew the ills of slavery. He had other reasons for being on the wrong side of the war. Likewise, Dwight L. Moody, the great Christian evangelist and preacher, he would enter a room and even the most hardened of sinners would go quiet and become inert because of the holiness of Moody. They honored and respected these men because of their characters. All manner of fruitfulness can come forth through the lives of Christian believers in the lives of other people. Perhaps even we trust and pray unto salvation. Hallelujah. So we speak of the desire of the righteous. We speak of the fruit of the righteous. We also speak of the root of righteousness. From Proverbs 12:12, the wicked desire the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous brings forth fruit. You see, the Christian is well grounded. He is grounded in the life of Christ. He is grounded in the word and will of God. He is suffused with and filled by the presence of the Holy Spirit. He is part and parcel of that group of people who are labeled in the Apostle Paul's second epistle to the young Timothy, the pillar of truth. The church may not always look as good as it should. She may be terribly flawed and foibled, and yet the standard and the calling and the destiny of the people of God is to be the pillar of truth. So we are well grounded and we are well rooted in the things of God and his righteousness. Praise the Lord. So please, the character of God, the promises of God, and we begin to speak now of the predicates of God. And down the line, we speak of the way of the righteous, the thoughts of the righteous, the heart of the righteous, the house of the righteous, and the light of the righteous. These for next week. In the meantime, this is Brad Lacey with the great message. We'll return with Brother Paige Tyler in just a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacey returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We return now with Brother Paige Tyler, my very dear friend and partner in the work of the gospel for some 20 plus years now. And Paige comes as a kind of guru, I use the word in an affectionate way, of the 12-step ministry for Christians. Indeed, Paige can handle 12 steps with just about anybody. Brother Paige, welcome back to the broadcast.
Thank you, Bradley. It's always a blessing. I'm always glad to be here.
Well, you have become part and parcel of this program. You're integral to its fabric. How's that?
There you go.
Brother, we're looking at step three of the 12-step ministry. Perhaps give us the first two steps, and then let's launch into step three.
All right. First step was we admitted we were powerless over our sin condition, which caused a separation from God. And that separation from God has made our lives unmanageable. And then we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves, something other than us, could restore our lives to sanity. Now, that's God's nice way of telling us that our behavior is insane. And if you look at our world today, you can see that God is being very polite.
Well, if God is being polite, we're telling ourselves rather impolitely that we're insane.
Yeah, right.
You know?
And then third, understanding that let's admit we're out of control. That's unmanageable, and that our behavior is insane. Coming to that realization, what are we going to do? Well, step three says we make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. So now what we're doing is saying, okay, I am making a mess. I wish the world could do this. So therefore, let me stop trying to make this cake, step out of the way, and let the chef, who knows how to make cake, make the cake.
You know, Paige, I'm reading a book right now by a renowned sociologist. He's a devout Christian, English by ethnicity, Oz Guinness. I've actually met the man. It's called Time for Truth. And the premise of the volume is that in modern society, there's not even a recognition of truth or what truth is. And therefore, to live out our lives, we're left with spin masters and ideologues. And if you will, I take nothing away from the legitimacy of a program director in a technical or vocational sense. But now we have lifestyle coaches and all of... We're not dealing with reality. We're dealing with surface and image, and we're dealing with the aberrant desires of an aberrant heart. I listen to politicians, and maybe they mean well, but no one, doctors don't, psychologists and psychiatrists don't, For crying out loud, half the time, preachers don't talk about the root essence of what the problem is. It's sin.
Right. Nothing introspective. Everything is projection. Everything is projection. Nothing's introspective. Nothing looking inward. And you can look for God. No one can look for God outside themselves any more than I did. Because I went around the world in 80 religions. And no one could spend more time, waste more time, searching more religious volumes than I did, looking for the perfect religion, the key, you know? And what I found was, is that the God of my salvation was inside. Wasn't outside. Wasn't external to me. And this is the perspective that we have to change. And this is the first step to change that perspective. Stop looking for something to happen on the external, some big whiz-bang lightning bolt to strike you, and start looking inwardly and start searching fearlessly and morally for that God who is within you, who knows you through and through 100% and has known you from the beginning till your end, and knows your end. And that's the God that we, as humans, we don't want to face. Because you can't lie to that God. You can't spin that story. You can't spin the story and make it, put a slant on it. Because he knows exactly what you did. He knew your heart. Or as you would say, your heart. When you did it.
You know what, Paige? Brother, you haven't earned the right to pronounce that word that way yet.
Hey. So, since he knows yourself internally, we don't want to face that God because there's no wiggle room. There's no inching around. You have to face yourself. And so, therefore, the world doesn't want to face that God. These steps take you to the throne of that God and put you before him and try to put you in a condition where you can stand face to face with your holy Redeemer.
You know what intrigues me, Paige? I've been watching this series on Netflix called The Resident. It's one of these medical dramas. It's just escapism. I've been enjoying it. We will let people, and I've gone through it twice in reality, we will let doctors, with every respect, thank God for them, open our hearts or our brains. We will allow our favorite sports team to consume our time and our energies and our money, and then they let us down at just the wrong moment. But we won't let the God who loves us intervene on our behalf.
Exactly.
That's how insane we are.
That's how insane we are. This is how crazy we are. You want to take that another step further? There are many people in this world who will turn their will and their lives over to the care of a bottle of booze, which is likely to kill them on any given day. And yet they're willing to do that. But they're unwilling to turn their will and their life over to the care of a God who loves them.
Yeah.
We're totally insane. So this step reminds...
Go ahead. Go ahead.
This step reminds us, so the second step reminds us that we're insane. The third step tells us there is a solution. There is a way out. You're powerless. You've lost control. You're insane. But there is a way out. It's not hopeless.
Well, if I may put it this way, it's that moment at which the inmates cease to be running the asylum.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I'm so blessed to have learned when I was 14 years of age that God in his sovereignty loved me, that God in his sovereignty had the power to help me combat and rise beyond the fray of that which was besetting me. That God, in his infinite grace, would take me places I literally could never have dreamt of going. to me, it's pure joy to have come into an awareness, to have given myself over in forthright submission to Him, knowing that I can trust Him. My goodness, there's nothing like it. You know, I have a lovely friend, and she's been embattled in life, and it means the world to me. She says, "Brad, I know I feel safe when I'm with you." Well, we have safety, and ultimately we have satisfaction in this God who loves us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But we come back for another round. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler with the great message. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler of the 12-Step Ministry for Christians. We return for another round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Brother Paige, I love the opening salvo of Step 3, made a decision. And let's flesh it out. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. We made a decision. How hard is it to make that decision?
It seems to be extremely difficult.
It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than to make this decision.
It's really a very simple step, because all you're really actually doing is deciding that you're going to do the rest of the 12 steps. That's all you're saying. You made a decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of this process. That's all you're doing, really. So you're saying, I'm willing to give up control. But how hard is that?
Yeah.
You know, the Bible places it in ways it says, you know, seek after God's righteousness, or seek after the righteousness of God. You know, if my people who are called by my name
my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves,
that's what I was missing.
Turn from their wicked ways, pray and seek my face.
Yeah.
I hear from heaven.
It's the then same
shall
thing.
You're not being asked when you make that decision to become perfect by your own strength or power.
No, in fact, please don't try and do it by your own strength and power. The scariest thing in the world is a new Christian who just found it, and they just found it last week, and they're going to save the world this week.
Right.
I mean, it's a joy to watch, but it's a scary thing also to see.
Yeah.
Because more than likely, all they're going to do is take the Bible and beat somebody upside the head with it.
I think the three most dangerous people are second-year psychology students, third-year theology students or seminarians, and first-week Christians.
No, do not try and make this yourself. It's like trying to do surgery. It's like trying to do an appendicitis on yourself. Even though the appendix hurts, but to take a scalpel and go in and cut it out on your own is impossible. You have got to turn that scalpel over to the care of a medical doctor who you feel is skilled enough to be able to go in there and take that swollen or inflamed appendix out. There's no way you would ever be able to do it yourself. You would faint long before you even got close to completing the task. So this is it's the exact same thing. We're talking about psychological, spiritual, mental, and emotional surgery. Because that's what's wrong. We're spiritually, mentally, and emotionally broken. And we need to be fixed. And for us to try and fix it ourselves with all of our self-help programs, of all the people I've seen on self-help programs, I've yet to see a healthy person who's gotten healthy purely on a self-help program alone.
Well, you know, as a reader, brother, you know, I have a vast library and I've frequented bookshops for 40 plus years. The greatest fraudulence to my mind ever perpetrated on the human mind is the section in Barnes & Noble called self-help. You know, I mean, maybe there's something you can extract from it. I want to take care here. But we can't do it ourselves. That's the problem. I mean, why? If you could do it yourself, you wouldn't need the self-help book.
Exactly. If you have to control something, it's already out of control.
Yes.
You don't have to control something that's in control. The Corps of Army Engineers do not go down and rearrange the course of a river that is not flooding.
Yes.
You if you're trying to control something, it's already out of control. And to try and do this fix on yourself is insanity. For the river to try and retrace its own course so that it does not flood the houses that are near it, would be insanity. The river can't do that.
Exactly. And to use, theological and biblical language, repentance is a changing of mind. It isn't yet a changing of behavior. It's a changing of mind. So when I read, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, I've just made a decision.
That's all.
That I'm going to let him take care of
That's
it
right.
and not myself.
Exactly. That's exactly.
And of course, when we do that, brother, we could thank God. God is God. We could drive him crazy because he could easily say to us, "Now you told me I'm in charge. Why are you still trying to take? You told me I'm going to do it, mm-hmm. and we're going to keep fighting him along the way."
Yep. We keep grabbing the steering wheel. We give him. Yes. Here, you drive, and then we get to the next curve and we reach over and grab the steering wheel.
And sometimes he'll let us take that wheel and we'll pay the price.
Yeah,
right?
We'll pay the price. Yeah. Careening right off of the road. And we learned a lesson not to grab the steering wheel over time.
Yes. And I learned at a very early stage, and I didn't do a 12-step program formally. It was funny with me. God kind of gave me this 5-year program. I instinctively understood it was 5 years, and it was. At the end of which I was beginning to blossom, and get beyond some of this stuff. But built into that 5-year program, it was essentially the 12 steps that I was doing, without realizing it, because these are biblical principles and biblical truths. Once I committed myself to Christ, my job now becomes not to solve my own problems, but to surrender to him and to follow his lead and dictate because he knows better.
Right. And you got to remember, these 12 steps come from the 6 steps of the Oxford group, which was a religious group. And, you know, they were split into 12 steps and the religiosity was taken out of AA at that time so that it would be attractive to anybody, whether they were Jewish or Hindu or whatever, you know, so that we could at least, it's like, open the door and get them in to the banquet. Then we'll see if we can dress them up in wedding garb. That was the idea, and it kind of worked. So from these steps, we move forward, and all we're doing right now, and all God is asking you to do right now, is step down off of the throne of your life that you've been running. If your life is going great, and you don't need any adjustments, you're perfect. Great. Keep right on driving. But if that's not true, then God's saying, step down off the throne. And he will take control. And he will be your guide. And he will be your God.
You know, I often think back to when my granddaughter, who is now 16, I think back to when she was very little and she was my little shadow. Whenever she hit a snag or a problem, do you know what she would say? Papa, I need help. She unashamed to acknowledge her need for help, and she knew she could ask me because she knew I loved her, and I wasn't going to let her down. Do we understand, you know, the phrase, and we'll talk about it more in the next section, we give ourselves over to the care of God as we understand him. I hope and pray that the initial round of understanding, that the baseline is that this God to whom we are giving our lives over to, that we understand and know that he loves us. That's the baseline.
Loves and that's the baseline. Loves and cares for us and only wants good for us. Doesn't want to see what's happening in our lives, the terrible things that have happened. That is not what God has wanted to see. The reason why they have happened is because you have been in control. And you have not let him be in control of your life. Even though you are a devout Christian, you could still be a devout Christian and yet still be a dominant, self-controlled person, self-willed, self-controlled person. And that's not what God's asking for you to be. He wants you to seek his face. You're trying to mold yourself to be like Christ, not trying to make Christ like you, but trying to make you like Christ. I think many, many Christians are often trying to make Christ like
I fear
that.
You are correct. On that note, we have one final round ahead. Brad Lacy, Brother Paige Tyler with a great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Brad Lacy and Brother Paige Tyler returning for one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Brother Paige, you were talking in the earliest segments about how within the six-step Oxford movement, which was grounded in a biblical understanding, the 12-step movement ultimately would break away from, in large measure, a biblical foundation and worldview. You know, what intrigues me, I mentioned earlier, I'm watching this program called The Resident, and sometimes there's an illness they can't figure out. And so they try to identify everything that's going on so that they can isolate and determine what the culprit is, who or what the culprit is, okay? So I think to myself, with all of the besetting and accentuated woes of Western civilization, let's do an analysis and figure out what's gone wrong. And the one thing nobody wants to talk about is that we have jettisoned our biblical and Judeo-Christian foundations. Somehow, that doesn't enter the fray of what's gone wrong. And yet it's everywhere you turn.
Yep. The guns were here before. I mean, come on, they're the Wild Wild West. There are any more guns? Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of guns. People walk around with guns strapped on their hips. The violence was here. The gangs were here. The bank robbers were here. But our moral fiber was not deteriorating in the midst of all that. It was surviving through all that. But now what is happening with no God and no biblical foundation, we are deteriorating and falling apart. No God, no peace.
And now we have, I would argue, two whole generations who know not God and who know not even of him, let alone they know him. They don't know about him. And you and I, perhaps we have a slightly accentuated understanding via God's grace. But even for us who have been invested in the things of God for so long, we only have, on the one hand, as much knowledge of God as he reveals to us, and we only have as much knowledge of God as we are willing to appropriate. So then that takes me back to this final phrase. So we read, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand him. Well, I'll tell you this much. One thing I understand of God by his grace, by his revelatory grace, is that I can trust him
Amen.
With my life.
Amen.
I know you feel the same
exactly.
way.
Exactly. God was willing to go to a cross to die for me.
Yeah.
And therefore, I know that I can trust my life in his hands. What other God is there that could even do what Christ did? Because no man can die for another man's sins. Only God could die for another man's sins. Yeah. That's just simple as that.
Yeah. You know, I'm not enamored any longer of Robert De Niro. The guy's just got an attitude, but he's done some good films. And the one he did called A Bronx Tale with Chaz Palminteri. Yeah. De Niro was a bus driver. His son was enamored of the mobster who just got out of jail, played by Palminteri. And he's talking to the mobster, and he's all excited about Mickey Mantle and the Yankees. Now, as a Red Sox fan, I love this, okay? And Palminteri says, let me ask you something, kid. What did the Mick ever do for you? Does he put food on your table? Does he pay your bills? And what has he ever done for you? Well, we give ourselves, and nothing against Mickey Mantle, but we give ourselves over to the lives of idols. They do nothing for us. I mean, look, you guys, you Eagles fans, and I was happy for you, finally won one a couple of years ago, right? But how many years did they let you down? All right, my Red Sox couldn't win a thing for 86 years. We put our trust in things that just, if you really look at them through an honest lens, we ain't going to prosper. Okay, and I'm just using sports humorously.
Right.
But we do this more soberly in real life, don't we?
Right, and what we really do, this is the part that defeats us, is that we don't allow God into our lives where we are living God-fearing or God-seeking lives. Is a better way, because people get feared up over the word fear. This, say God-seeking lives, where what we do we check it with that checkpoint? Would I do this before a holy God? If what I'm doing, about to do, would I do it before a holy God? And that's, at least that's what I use as my checkpoint. And I don't think our world is using that checkpoint anymore. This step is asking you to start thinking that way. Because whatever you're doing, you are doing before a holy God. God sees everything you say. You will be accountable for every foolish word that comes out of your mouth. I don't like that part of the Bible, by the way.
No, it's very distasteful.
And it's got
if I were God, I wouldn't be so picky. I'm not joking. Thank God I'm not God.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And it says every foolish word. Before I even read that, I had a mountain of foolish words.
You and I both take umbrage at that word in the Bible that's everywhere. It's ubiquitous.
Oh. Yeah, there's another one. But I mean, so, but the point is, yeah, foolish words may come out of my mouth, but I try to measure my behavior, my actions, based on what would I do in the presence of my holy God, because whatever I'm doing is in the presence of my holy God.
Well, and conversely, on the one hand, you're talking about how God has reason to bring his judgment upon us, and praise God, his grace and mercy are greater still. On the other side, when we need more those lovelier, by human estimate, commodities of comfort and grace and that kind of thing, over the last several years, I've been pummeled. I mean, we had that disruption in the church. We were taken down financially. God sustained us. I've had to go through two cardiac surgeries of major import, one at the Mayo Clinic. My beautiful wife took gravely ill, suffered horribly, and passed on. And yet, through all of that, the God that I've come to understand loved me, sustained me, carried me, took me above the fray and set the stage for my future existence. I wouldn't trade that or him for the world. Yep. Last thought, brother.
Exactly.
You got about 20 seconds.
20 seconds. You know, be willing to let God step in and control your life. Not unless you're doing a great job. I know I wasn't until I was ready to let God take control.
Brother, I couldn't have put that any more aptly. God bless you. Brad Lacy.
God bless
and
you.
Brother, he does indeed. Thank you. Brad Lacy and Brother Paige Tyler, we bid you God's grace in every way. Take care.